Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Kevin's on vacation. Having a good time at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We trust Danny Will is on board with us. Danny does an absolutely outstanding job on Bucknell women's basketball.
Thank you for the comments.
Well, it's true. You do. You do a fabulous job. Great to have you on board.
With Kevin being on vacation, is that kind of like a mini vacation for you?
Whew, man, I'll tell you right now, my feet have been up. And not only that, my blood pressure is down dramatically.
That's not a coincidence, I'm sure.
I mean, and not only that, they Mark Lawrence. Hey, Lawrence, who normally is like, I don't know, 145 over 92. And now they tested Lawrence this morning. 112 over 70. It's amazing. And people are trying to find common links. And I believe, Danny, you have found the common link.
Yeah, it wasn't too hard to figure out. You just walk around here and everybody's smiling and happy. Kevin leaves for vacation. He has fun, but you know he's not the only one who's enjoying it.
I mean, it is just a blast. All right, so. Okay, Bill O'Brien yesterday. Yesterday was met with the media. They had the first practice yesterday. And we have some quick excerpts from his press conference yesterday, which we will get to so you can at least get a feel for what the head football coach said yesterday on a variety of topics.
Well, I definitely get the sense that our players are ready to practice for 2013. I believe that they understand, you know, we've talked about that. Excuse me. We've talked about that as a staff, as a team, in team meetings. You know, hey, look, it was a really good start to a new era. But, you know, guys, and we owe a lot to the seniors. And, you know, we won 8 out of our last 10, and those were all good things. And we won our last game, which is really good going into the offseason. 31 seniors did a great job. But, you know, at the end of the day, we were 8-4. We started the season 0-2. I mean, so we got a lot to improve on. We got a lot of work to do. We have a lot of positions that need to get better. We need to find some depth. We have great kids that are working extremely hard that are going to do it the way we want them to do it. And I think they understand that, and they're looking forward to getting out there this afternoon.
With the benefit of a year?
I'm definitely more comfortable. I don't know if I was ever confident. I'm definitely more comfortable. I understand the players better. I believe they understand us better. The staff really understands how we work, how long we meet, when to meet, all those different things. What our expectations are as a staff of each other and of the players. I know how to get around better. I mean, I know how to get from point A to point B, even though it's not that hard in state college. You know, it's still new when you're brand new somewhere. I know people better, people that I work with on a daily basis. They know me better. Maybe they're starting to figure out my sense of humor, although I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, but you know, things like that. So I definitely feel more comfortable, but you know, I'm definitely looking forward to getting going and watching how much better we can get. Now it's time for some of those younger guys to have a good spring practice and work hard and help us in that role too. So we'll see how that develops. But this year is a different year, and I think we've got some good guys coming back that played a lot for us last year that'll be good leaders for us.
You expect Hackenberg to be in the mix come August?
Did you say be in the mix, Rich?
Yeah, be in the mix come August.
Certainly, he'll be in the mix. Yeah, we're at every single position. We're going to play the best players. So whether that means a guy, I mean, Christian can't do anything about the fact that he can't be here till June. You know, so just like Steven Bench, you know, last year, obviously we named Matt the starter, but you know, after spring practice or thereabouts in June there, but when Steven Bench came in, he worked his way up the depth chart to number two. So, yeah, Christian will come in, and we'll teach him the offense and give him some reps and see how he does, certainly.
Okay, so some of the comments from Bill O'Brien in his press conference yesterday, talking about a variety of things. And I thought that was the interesting part, was that, look, he wants to play the best guy. Now, you know, if people are thinking, for example, let's face it, if you redshirt this particular class, you know, this particular class coming in, okay, do you... they have a chance to play for two Big Ten championships and to play for and play in two bowl games. That's if they redshirt. Okay, so I understand the part. And I think everybody does. But if a guy can help you win now and it turns out that they're ready, let them. You know, that's why I sometimes I hear a lot about, you know, building for the future and so forth. You can spend so much time building for the future that you miss an opportunity in the present. And I think that's something to remember, that you can spend so much time building for the future that you end up not taking care of the present. And there are very few opportunities. I mean, and we find this. I mean, here we are at the NCAA tournament as an example. And, you know, some people had said to Dave Paulson as they're making their way now to go to Lexington. And they're, believe me, when they land at Lexington, too bad. I'm not sure what time they land. I hope they land when it's still daylight out. Because when you land in Lexington, you are landing right where Keeneland is. You are landing right where Calumet Farms is. Gorgeous, gorgeous horse farms. Just beautiful area. So I hope they get a chance at least to land. I mean, one of the great, the Keeneland sales is one of the great horse racing sales in the world. And Calumet Farm, okay, which at one point housed Secretariat. So, yeah. So I hope they get to see that. But you can, but look at, for example, Dave Paulson and his team. Winning's hard. And of course, last year they couldn't get there because, you know, CJ McCollum and Lehigh came in. They got hot. They wanted Soika. They went on. They beat Duke. Well, now it's Bucknell's turn. And they said to Dave after the game, and he mentioned this on the show yesterday, so some people say you look relieved. Well, when you're in a one-bid league, you sort of are, because winning is difficult. You know, it's too often, I think, as fans and too often as media, we take the winning part in certain examples for granted. And winning's difficult. And I've talked about this so many times. That we can't take it for granted, and that we have to understand the difficulty of how hard it is to win. And this Bucknell's a perfect example. They're an excellent team. They're an excellent team. But yet, you know, they spend an entire three-game tournament where they confidently go about their job and they win, but still they're on the edge each time. And that's difficult mentally. And so, yeah, was he relieved? Sure, because he was to the summit last year and ended up in Arizona for the NIT. Well, this time they're in the NCAAs. They were there 2 years ago. They understand how it works. They understand, you know, everything you go through. So, I mean, it's not going to be a new experience. They know open practice. They know that they have to go through the press conferences, and they'll embrace it and enjoy it. You know, Butler's been through it as well. But this is an interesting matchup, because Bucknell is a physical team. Butler is a physical team. Right? Butler is not a finesse team. They're a physical team. Roosevelt Jones is a good example. I think Roosevelt Jones took 1-3 the entire season. I think that was in the Gonzaga game.
Have you seen Roosevelt Jones shoot a free throw?
It's ugly.
It's probably the ugliest motion you'll ever see, but he doesn't shoot a great percentage, but you'd figure somebody who shoots it like that would not shoot as well as he does.
Well, guess what? He leads the team in assists. How about that? He leads the team in assists. But they're a physical team. And this will be a physical game. And I think this kind of plays into this game, I think, plays into what Bucknell does. I think this game plays very much into what Bucknell does. And I find this to be a great matchup in a lot of ways. So I think some people probably saw, Butler, they've been through it before, blah, blah. I looked at it the other way. I said, no, I look at styles. I think styles mean something in these games. Styles mean a lot.
I agree. And with that being said, you look at these two teams, the way that I think they're similar in style, that they'll slow it down, really rely on their half-court offense. No matter who wins this game, you're not going to see a blowout. Neither team is going to run away from the other one.
No, defense is going to be the deal. And that plays into what Bucknell does. And here's the other part. As talented as Butler is, and they're talented, Dave has the best player on the floor. Mike Muscala will be the best player on the floor.
No doubt. But another thing that's going to go under the radar is how many big men that Andrew Smith has guarded in his career at Butler. He's been in a national championship game. He's gone against mm-hmm. likes of Oriaki when he was at UConn and mm-hmm. plenty of other bigs at Pittsburgh throughout that entire run, Florida as well. He has experience guarding talented centers.
He does. But at the same time, he hasn't always been incredibly successful against all of them either. Okay? He's done well, but there are still moments where he is not. And while he has experience, and that's a great matchup, Mike is so good at passing out of the post. Mike is so good at recognizing defenses. Mike is so good at finding his teammates, and he's also so good at the free throw line. I think that's a big part of this, is how well Muscala recognizes pressure. I think he has great judgment. One of the things that you find in the NCAAs is teams advance that have great judgment. And Mike has great judgment. So does Joe Willman, Cameron Ayers, Bryson Johnson. And Johnson is the other guy that I think is one of the keys to this thing. If he can snap off 4 threes in this game, 4 successful threes, I think that changes the dynamics, Danny, of what we're seeing on the floor.
No doubt, and especially with the point, too, as you mentioned, if Butler decides to double Muscala, Johnson's going to get some looks, whether it's Johnson right. or Ayers or even Brackney, who hit a couple of big threes right. against Lafayette. Mm-hmm. People are going to be open for threes, and if Bucknell hits them, I mean, that's just such an advantage for them.
Now Butler is a tough team, a tough physical team, and they're also a tough team with no quit in them. Two examples. They really were on the verge of losing the Indiana game. Didn't. Played hard, played tough. They looked Indiana square in the eye, and Indiana blinked, and Butler didn't. Butler won the game 88-84. The other one was Gonzaga. They were on the verge of losing the Gonzaga game. And then Roosevelt Jones made that great steal at midcourt when Dave Stockton threw the ball in. John's son.
You know what also is underrated with Butler, too, in those close games that you mentioned? You go mm-hmm. back to Indiana game. It was Alex Barlow who hit the game-winning shot. Mm-hmm. Gonzaga, it was another guy. It was Roosevelt Jones. You even go back to Maui when they played against Marquette. It was Rodney Clark. So it's you can't focus in on one guy in it. You know, if this game comes down to the final minute, Butler's going to have a lot of options to go to if it is, you know, a shot for the win or a shot for a tie situation.
Right. But the other part, too, is, okay, they've had some success in close games, and then they've had some not. So in the Atlantic 10, they lost 6 times. And especially when Clark got hurt, but then he came back in the lineup. And I think everybody just assumed, like, hey, look, they'll just take off again. No, they didn't. I mean, LaSalle beat them. I like LaSalle's team. But LaSalle has really good guard play. Tyreek Dern, Galloway. And Illinois beat them in Maui in the championship game. Illinois has the distinction, by the way, of beating both Butler and Gonzaga this year. This is a really good Butler team. This is not the best Butler team. How about that?
Completely agree.
Brad Stevens is a really good coach. He's had some really good teams. And, you know, he had a couple of great teams. This is a really good Butler team. This is not his best Butler team. This is, a great opportunity for Bucknell. And I think style-wise, the balance, and this is what I brought out with Dave yesterday, is I asked him about the balance that they have. Well, they have obviously great balance. Butler does. But so does Bucknell. I just think that that's one of those intriguing games. And again, you know, I'm not big now. I mean, I was big on seeds like everybody else years ago. Okay, seeded here. But I think now I've watched how college basketball has evolved the last 2 years in particular. And this year, I really made up my mind about middle January. I said, it doesn't matter where anybody's seeded. We're watching teams go down left and right. Anybody can beat anybody. So to me now, a seeding is just an assignment where you say, okay, you know, let's just take Butler and Bucknell. Okay, that just means that based on assignment, they're playing each other first, and then the winner of that game is going to play X next. I think that's what it comes down to now. Now, CBS, TNT, TBS, True TV, you know, their announce crews will make a big deal in the guise of promotion. About, an upset, beats it out. You know, they'll do that because I think they feel that, you know, that jazzes the tournament up. And I understand that. That's part of their job. Part of their job is to get you, the viewer, interested in what's going on, something exciting, that this is an upset. It's unexpected. It's, you know, I mean, UCLA's playing Minnesota. I expect Minnesota to win the game, but Minnesota's the 11. The UCLA with an injury and how physical Mbakwe is. If Dre Hollins can play well at the guard spot, he and Austin Hollins in combination, if they play well enough, Rodney Williams and Mbakwe will do some damage inside for Minnesota. Plus, Williams and Mbakwe are shot blockers. They were third and fourth in the Big Ten, respectively, in block shots. Now, Minnesota's played lousy basketball overall for the last month and a half. I think they're 4-7 their last 11 games. I think that's more a testimony of the Big Ten than it is to Minnesota's position in this tournament. They had one great week, and that was the week where they beat Indiana and then followed it up and clobbered Penn State. I don't think the Penn State game is the same if they had lost Indiana. I'm not saying Penn State wins because the matchup's bad for Penn State. So, I mean, there you have it. So that's a look at that. We'll come back. We'll take a look a little bit more about the tournament, plus Penn State football. Take your calls at 1-800-795-9565 on the Hilscher's General Store Hotline and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the Central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back. Deep down, Mark misses Kevin, but they don't drill for oil that deep. We welcome everyone back. And don't forget, of course, the NCAA tournament does get underway tonight. It's going to be Middle Tennessee, St. Mary's. That's the nightcap. North Carolina A&T, Liberty's the first game. LaSalle plays tomorrow night against Boise. So that is the story on the tournament. Starts tonight with two, then two tomorrow night, then everything kicks into high gear with 16 games on Thursday. I like the TNT, True TV, TBS, CBS format. I like it a lot. You can pick out whatever game you want and watch it in its entirety if you wish. None of this waiting to see whatever game they stick in your area. It gives you now control as a viewer as to what you're, you know, what you wish to watch. I love that. Now, it is admittedly, Danny, the only time all year I watch True TV.
It's probably the only time that most people watch True TV.
I have to admit, after last year watching it, I was I had no desire to watch any of the cop shows.
I did make sure and check my cable that I do have True TV, so that was a bonus.
Well, I do know I watched it last year, and I know they did not take it off. So, and that's where the first two games are tonight. True TV. This is your NBA-free, LeBron-free zone. We'll come back with more.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2004 Volvo XC40 four-door twin turbo with four-wheel drive. Lowest price promise, $9,994. A 2006 BMW X3 four-door four-wheel drive, $14,299. 2008 Ford Escape four-wheel drive V6 limited, only $15,988. 2012 Hyundai Elantra four-door sedan GLS, just $15,943. A 2012 Hyundai Veloster three-door coupe with black interior. Call for a price, 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Steve Jones, Danny Will with you on this Tuesday. Tournament starts tonight. NCAA wrestling tournament gets underway Thursday. And we heard from Cale Sanderson in the second half hour. Heard from Bill O'Brien last half hour. So we're getting there. Women's basketball tournament. Somebody mentioned earlier about the NCAA and Penn State with the Lady Lions going back to Baton Rouge. I really don't think that has it is a question that has to be asked. I understand that. But I just don't see a committee sitting in a room going, oh, okay, and doing it. I just think it's a committee sitting in a room that the hardest part for the committee sometimes is not the the selection of the teams. All right? Sometimes the hardest part for the committee is the seeding part. And the men's committee has to take it a step further. How do we pod the teams? And sometimes teams get moved a line in order to get closer to home or to give somebody an idea of being closer to home. Bucknell, for example, played in D.C. 2 years ago, which for area fans was great. It's going to be a little different story this time. And Butler is going to be the one that's closer to home. Indianapolis to Lexington is not that far. So that's why you have such a hodgepodge in the opening couple of rounds. You don't have any Philadelphia teams in the Philadelphia region, but Duke being the highest seed there, they're close. Georgetown's close as a two. They're both twos, and they're both going to get Duke's not really that close, but it's close enough. Georgetown definitely is. obviously for San Diego State and Cincinnati, Philly is, you know, whatever. But you have Indiana's in Dayton, for example. Ohio State's in Dayton, for example. Louisville is going to be, you know, you go down to, for any Bucknell fans going down to Lexington, guess what? Get to see Louisville. Because Louisville's going to play in Kentucky. Yeah, it's going to be really a comfortable situation. How about Kentucky tonight? They play at Robert Morris tonight in the NIT.
They show pictures of that gym. I think it holds 3,000 people.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. Bobby Moe. It's the home of Bobby Moe. Well, it brings, I'll say this, it brings them back to, I would think that if I'm John Calipari, that part of it would be like, hey, guys, here are the roots of college basketball. You know, there are gyms like this in college basketball all over the place. You get the privilege of playing in Rupp, 23,000 seats. And maybe that gives them, down the road more appreciation for what they have. Now, they didn't make the NCAAs, Kentucky. They went 4-5 down the stretch. And Middle Tennessee plays tonight. And as you know, I was... That's the only one I looked at. And said, geez, I'm not sure about that. Now, you know, let's face it. 28 RPI, yeah, I'm sure about that. 28-5 record, yeah, there's a lot to be sure about that. But here's, you know, I'll bring up one thing, and I should have brought this up yesterday, and I thought about it after the show, but I'll bring this up now. It's interesting, Danny, that they talk a lot about your non-conference schedule. Who did you play in the non-conference? And they mentioned, you know, like take Middle Tennessee. They tried to play a good non-conference schedule and so forth. Now, they only won one game. They beat Ole Miss by two. And then they lost the other three. So they were 1-3 against the top 100. As they pointed out yesterday, Penn State has more top 100 wins than Middle Tennessee does. Okay. Gonzaga had to fight its way to get to the number one line, even though they're the number one ranked team in the country. Okay. But if you were Danny to take Gonzaga's conference schedule and you put that out and you advertise that schedule to Penn State fans, and if you were to take Middle Tennessee's conference schedule and you were to advertise that to Penn State fans, that this is your schedule, what do you think Penn State fans would say? I'm talking about the conference schedule.
Probably think they'd win a lot more games.
No, I understand that, but what would it do for tickets? What would it do for interest?
It would drop.
And they would say, how come you don't play anybody? Correct?
Yep.
And I think what the committee does is there's a double standard. Double standard of always talking about taking BCS teams and judging their non-conference schedule versus then judging a mid-major and their non-conference schedule. I think there's it's hypocritical. I really believe it's hypocritical because when you're looking at multiple bid leagues, you know, they do well multiple bid. But they're saying, well, get more mid-majors in and so forth. Well, like, you know, I just watched Penn State go through a 10-win season. And I watched them play Michigan twice, Indiana twice. I watched them play Ohio State. I watched them play Michigan State. I watched them play Illinois. I watched them play Minnesota. I watched them play Wisconsin twice. Actually, I watched them play Michigan three times. Okay? Now, Middle Tennessee help what conference you're in. But did they play Michigan three times? Indiana twice? Wisconsin twice? Ohio State? Michigan State? Illinois? Minnesota? They play any of those guys? I mean, one-third of Penn State's schedule is against that group. One-third.
The problem this year, and I think it's been a problem since the field has gone to 68, and is that the bubble is so much weaker. I think that is why when the field was announced, this year more than really any that I've been around, nobody was really complaining about the teams that got in because the resume of the teams that were near the bubble, like, say, Virginia, or I'm a Maryland
Virginia,
fan.
Virginia had a
Maryland
weird
themselves,
one.
I don't think, deserved to be in. Because right. They had some really terrible losses, and they scheduled nobody in the non-conference. The only team that they played was Kentucky, which at the time was ranked third, but they didn't play anybody else that was ranked or even in a power conference. So I agree from the fact that the committee needs to, I guess, be more firm about what are the exact standards to get teams in, because they do tend to change. But with the field at 68, the bubble so much weaker, I feel like the argument this year about who should be in, who should be out was less because nobody near the end was terribly deserving.
See, but my problem is there's a double standard. Why is Middle Tennessee praised so much for their non-conference schedule? Okay, and let's take Iowa. And Iowa's ripped for their non-conference schedule. Okay? But yet, since Christmas, who's Iowa played? The conference schedule lasts longer than the non-conference schedule. Now, I know they're trying to get you to play more games. And I think it's very important for, when it comes time to scheduling in the non-conference for a BCS school, it's not just going out and, like, in your non-conference, hey, we're going to play Duke. Okay? I think you can look at an RPI from the year before of teams between 30 and 120. And I think you could find six of those schools on that schedule that you can fit into your schedule. Okay? Or even 40 to 120. Right in that range. I think that gives you enough RPI if you get six of those games on top of a tournament you might play in. Penn State, for example, is in the Barclays. Penn State will be in the Barclays tournament next year where the Brooklyn Nets play, which will include St. John's, Georgia Tech, and Ole Miss. Those are the, you know, those will be the final four teams of the Barclays. So that's where Penn State's going to be. Okay. And then you have an ACC challenge game. I think you do that, you're going to be in pretty good shape.
That is good, but on the flip side, and a perfect example of that is Bucknell from this year. And in those tournaments, they don't help the mid-majors. I mean, if you remember, Bucknell in the 2K Classic beat Purdue. But because they, you know, the tournament, the Garden, they want to make more money, sell more tickets, Purdue automatically went. How much more of would Bucknell's schedule, say hypothetically that they lost in the conference title and had to rely on an at-large, they still beat Purdue, and they could have had the chance to play the likes of Bama, Villanova, and I forget the other team that was there, but it a lot of things do hinder the smaller teams getting opportunities, and that's one of them.
There's no question about that. No question. And that does hinder them because it's set in stone. I know Penn State, I already know the two teams Penn State's going to play to start the Barclays both at home, and it's, you know, they're okay. But obviously, when they get to the St. John's, Georgia Tech, Ole Miss, they're going to get two of those three teams. That helps. So Penn State in a BCS position is in a good shape. Is in good shape. They're going to get, you know, one from possibly the Big East, one from possibly the ACC, and one possibly from the SEC. They got two out of those three. And you're right, Bucknell's in a spot where they're not going to be the one that's going to, you know, Purdue's going to be the one as the drawing card that's going to get more out of that. Plus, obviously, when you're in the Big Ten, you have the ACC challenge. So you're going to get it. You're going to get an automatic ACC team on there. Now it's what you do with the rest of it. And I think when you try to look and get maybe five or six in that 40 to 120 range, and it's not going to be perfect. I mean, 1 year, remember, Penn State tried to get some teams that were conference champions from the year before, and it turned out they ended up being, they all had bad years. How about that? They all had bad years. And it's, it ended up being, it didn't help. Let me put it this way. But when you are getting to the bubble, I think the one thing I don't want them to do, for example, Bucknell, if they didn't win the Patriot, to me would have been more deserving of playing instead of Middle Tennessee as an at-large team. How about that argument?
It's fair, but if you look at it, Bucknell's win over a team in the tournament is LaSalle. They each have one win over a team in the tournament, Middle Tennessee's being Ole Miss. So, I mean, they're comparable.
Yeah, but they played at Purdue. They played at Penn State. They played at Missouri. Now, Purdue and Penn State didn't have years, obviously. Missouri did. But that's what Dave tried to schedule that kind of deal. Middle Tennessee, they're in, and not only are they in, Danny, they're in. They aren't the last team in.
That's another thing about the tournament that puzzles me, is they mention these four because they're in these play-in games because they're the last four teams in. But yeah, why are they in 11 seeds? I understand you have to move some things around, but they get an 11 seed, whoever wins this game as one of the last four teams.
Yeah,
but you have at-larges like Cal, right, who's a 12. The math just doesn't size up that way, and I don't understand how that can make sense.
Cal and Oregon were both moved a line because of pods. So they'll move teams a line as a pod. And that happens because they're trying to get some teams closer to home because they're trying to help attendance. That's part of it. Part of it. But they're in. In other words, LaSalle and Boise State are both behind Middle Tennessee. And the Atlantic 10's a better conference.
And so is the Mountain West.
And the Mountain West, too. And I believe, if I recall correctly, Boise beat New Mexico.
I believe you're right. They also played Michigan State down the wire. They won at Creighton.
Yeah, they did.
And I believe the Mountain West, I don't know if it ended up as the top RPI conference, but it finished lower than second.
Yeah, it was between the Mountain West and Big Ten all season. But the field is now set. There's no complaining about who's out, because I'll be honest with you, I don't have a replacement for Middle Tennessee. How about that?
Yeah, I completely agree.
Okay,
There was no one really arguing anybody's case because no one's was really that strong.
Yeah, I don't have a replacement for Middle Tennessee. Okay? So, in other words, it's one thing to sit there and talk about this and say, well, okay, well, then who would you replace it with? I don't have one. Okay. At least off the top, I don't. Because, Virginia's resume was weird. Maryland was so up and down. Iowa went 9-9 in the league. And, of course, you're talking about a 500 team in the Big Ten. The Big Ten is damn good. I mean, it's the best I've ever seen it. And it goes in cycles. There's some years where the Big Ten's been maybe the third or fourth best conference, but this is one of those years where it turned out it was the Big Ten's turn to be the best, and they were. I mean, they were. I didn't say anybody else. And it's going to be interesting to see how they fare in the tournament. Did they wear each other out to get to this point? Possible. Or, as I mentioned yesterday, something that's going to happen for some of these teams, like Indiana, Duke, for example. There are going to be spots open on the floor that have not been open since Christmas, when conference play began. All right, we'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Wrapping for a Tuesday with the tournament beginning tonight. Wrestling begins its tournament on Thursday. Penn State's so deep, so good. I mean, there's some thought that Penn State could wrap this thing up by Saturday and then go after just individual titles and have some fun with that on Sunday. We'll see. That's going to be very interesting. And obviously 165 is the one that has drawn absolute national interest. Can David Taylor win? Can David Taylor finally beat him? So that is going to be interesting. And they, you know, and the NCAA knows it is. It's, they know it's the marquee. They know it's the marquee. So we will all find out. That'll be interesting to watch. Now, the women's tournament begins this weekend against Penn State, goes to Baton Rouge. There's no difference between being a 2 and a 3. There is no difference. The key was not to be a 4. You do not, in the women's game, want to be a 4 seed or an 8. Okay, a 4 or an 8 just kills you. Why? Because the number one seeds, traditionally in women's basketball, are so good. Okay, they're so good that it's just really hard to get over that hurdle. Danny, you know it. You see it.
No, it's true. I mean, year in and year out, it's the ones. I mean, I think there's a huge gap between Baylor, UConn, Notre Dame, Stanford, and then after that, it's the rest. I mean, watching the selection show, I caught a little bit of it. They were posing questions of who were the best teams to give Notre Dame, Baylor a run for their money, and everything was those three teams, because I don't know if there's a team out there besides those three that could beat Baylor.
No, and that's the key. I mean, and Penn State was in that spot last year. Penn State was a 4. Well, Penn State had to go down to Baton Rouge last year, and they won. They beat LSU on LSU's home court. Great win. Well, being a 4, though, they had to go to the Ryan Center in Kingston, and they had to play UConn in Kingston, Rhode Island, which is an hour away from UConn's campus. So it's like a home game for UConn, and UConn's already that good to begin with. But Notre Dame, UConn, Baylor, they're the cut above teams in the sport. And it's very difficult. I can't recall anybody outside of the top 10 making the Final Four in basketball. Can you?
Not off the top of my head. I remember, I want to say it was Griner's freshman year. I think Baylor was a 4 seed, and they did make the Final Four. I could be wrong on that, but that rings a bell.
All right. It's rare. How about that? It's rare. You know, mostly they're ones and twos that make it. And it's just the way it is. And not over that hurdle yet. The men's game. And part of this is because of the 15 scholarship thing, okay? The 15 scholarship thing is the women still have that. The men have 13 scholarships. And while we often talk about 85 scholarships for football and how it's balanced the game out, even though the SEC's done so well, 13 scholarships has done the same thing for men's basketball. It's done the same thing. 13 scholarships, has done the same thing for men's basketball. You know, you take 60 BCS schools, that's 120 players now that are playing someplace else. Makes a difference. We'll talk to you tomorrow.